Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend edition. Also your host on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please be sure to go back through our website and podcast, listen to all the daily editorials and company updates released throughout the week. And as always, please keep in touch with us through email by sending us your thoughts on the markets, companies we feature, and any companies you think that would be a good fit on the show. That being said, on this weekend show, we're going to focus on the resource sector mostly as we're kicking off the show with Richard Postma, aka Doc. In the second half of this show, we're going to switch our focus a little bit more to the energy sector. But Doc, first things first, let's talk about precious metals. We didn't have you on last month, but oh boy, it's pretty important to have you on this month because in just over a week, about a week ago, we saw gold drop by over $100. As we're recording this later in the day on Thursday, gold is trading around, let's say, 1830. And, well, from what I see on the charts, especially those monthly charts that you always point us to, I'm starting to just see some technical breakdowns here and some of the technical indicators that you have taught me about. Doc, take us through what your technicals are showing you, just focused on the gold price for now, please.
Yeah, last time I was on, Corey, I believe I talked about the fact that we were probably going to move down to the end of the year in gold, and that we would see 1850 for sure, and we have hit that. And a couple other things I pointed out was that watch the 12 month on the MACD on the monthly chart, because it was looking to me like it was going to compromise the 26-month moving average on the MACD, on the momentum indicator, and it has compromised that now. The other thing I mentioned was I felt that we were going to be in the midst of forming a massive inverse head and shoulders on the monthly chart for gold, which over the long term is a good thing, but that it's going to take time to play out, and we're going to be playing this thing out, I think, for a few months now. And with the 12-month impacting the 26-month, it looks like we're going to head on the MACD back down toward zero on the MACD over the end of the year. And then I would think that if that happens, we're going to start to move laterally again for a while. And so that's what I see for gold right now. I just feel that we're going to move even lower over time. It's not going to be a straight line necessarily, but we should form a right shoulder to that inverse head and shoulder, hopefully, which will set us up really well for the future.
Well, Doc, if we see an inverse head and shoulder, yeah, eventually that will resolve to the upside. But let me ask you a question on these long-term charts and looking at the monthly. For the longest time, we've had so many different people come on the show and talk about the cup and handle pattern that really goes all the way back to the last cycle that peaked in 2011 around 1921. Then we saw the other side of the cup in 2020 when it got up to over 2000. And then the handle typically resolves in a reasonable amount of time. It only goes a certain amount down. Is that complete pattern just busted now? Because the handle has gone on and on and on. Somebody posted the other day, this handle may go on the rest of our lifetimes. So is that inverse head and shoulder going to invalidate that large cup and handle pattern because the handle has now gone lower and stretched on longer than a normal pattern would?
Yes, and that is an accurate assessment because as you mentioned, a handle does not last that long, as long as we're seeing, and we're going to be down here for a while, so we're going to see pricing down here for a while yet, so it kind of does obviate that whole cup and handle view. But having said that, I'll take an inverse head and shoulders, which would be a positive thing, because I think the next time we move up, I think the fourth time is going to be a charm for challenging the highs we saw way back in 2020. And I think the next time we move up, we're not going to come back down to levels that we're going to see in the next couple, three, 4 months going forward. So that's going to be a positive, I think. And we're eventually going to start to break out the next time we go up and challenge those levels.
Okay, but that still could be in some time. So in the meantime then, Doc, we've also talked a lot about how the U.S. dollar has been rising almost in a straight up fashion over the last about 7-8 weeks. Yields have also been moving higher. These are two things that do usually put a lot of headwind in gold, and gold was holding up fairly well, again, until that last kind of just over a week long breakdown. How important is it going to be to watch those two other markets, yields and the U.S. dollar, or any other markets that could play into maybe further pressure on gold?
Yeah, and the dollar and the interest rates in particular are going to be a real headwind for gold. That's going to continue for some time. And so you're not going to be seeing a break from that sort of thing for a while. So we're going to have to live with it. And that makes sense from the standpoint that gold will not take off to new highs for any time soon, I don't believe. And so those two factors are huge right now. And I don't see any sudden breakdown of the U.S. dollar here. And I think it's going to start to move in a range. And I think we're starting to see that on the monthly chart. So that's not going to be very helpful for us going forward for a while.
Well, Doc, let's talk about the gold stocks. When you look at GDX and GDXJ, when you look at some of the leadership in the large cap stocks, they're starting to get some real chart damage. They're starting to break below support levels people wanted to see hold. If gold still has further to run to the downside and more weakness, what does that mean for the gold stocks?
Well, I think, Shad, we're finally starting to see the breakdown in the big cap gold stocks, and that's true also in silver. We're finally seeing a breakdown in those, and that's going to be the last thing to go. The resource sector and the small cap are pretty much washed out, and they may move down a little bit yet, a penny here, a penny there, but it's going to be the large cap stocks that are going to continue to be under pressure. And I'm watching another one or a number of them, like Aneco and Newmont, Hecla, Barrick, and Kinross. And the chart I like the most, and I've talked about in the past, is Newmont. And I mentioned that we would probably break below 40, which we then did, and now we're moving lower. Well, Newmont's going lower yet, and it's just a matter of time. And the thing I like about the Newmont chart is because that chart is going to tell me eventually, I think when we bottom out, it's because the Bollinger Bands are so wide yet. That tells you that those Bollinger Bands are going to have to narrow before you get a bottom for Newmont. And so I'm watching that chart in particular because I think it's going to be a harbinger of when we finally bottom out in this thing, which is going to be a while yet.
Where could Newmont bottom then? Because quite frankly, look, it's almost breaking to levels we haven't seen since pre-pandemic, back in early 2020, even 2019.
Well, I think we have a very good possibility of seeing Newmont down around 25 in the next few months.
Well, Doc, that would take us almost back to where the 2015-2016 period was, when a lot of the mining stocks broke to their lowest levels. Are you expecting things like GDX or GDXJ to also trek back down to not just below the pre-pandemic levels, but back to where the whole sector bottomed in 2015-2016?
I think the law of average is very good in that happening, Shad, for both GDX and GDXJ. I think as far as GDX, we could see GDX bottoming between 15 and 20 going forward. I don't like the way it just broke through on some of the major support again. And I think it's going to take out its lows that we saw back in 2022. And then it's going to probably go a little bit lower. And I think that's a real possibility. And we could see that next year. I don't think we're going to get there by the end of the year, but it'll take a little bit longer. And I think GDXJ also is going lower. And we're going to get to the point where they challenge their lows, which was that spike low back in the 2020s, when both of them spike considerably. And I think once we get down around there, we're going to be about close to where they're going to bottom out.
So, Doc, this is something that I brought up to you before recording here, and it's, again, looking at that monthly chart. I was surprised kind of recapping the moves this month in some of the technical indicators, like the RSI, like the MACD, the ADX, and even slow stochastics. I was surprised to see the fact that the ADX, MACD, slow stochastics were still right around neutral territory. They had moved sideways for most of this year, and that's in the face of still a pretty tough environment as we followed the stock so closely. And now this breakdown is taking all of them just into slightly negative territory. So I guess the big concern I have, which almost sounds like it lines up with where you see prices going, is that there's a fair bit of downside risk here until these even get to an oversold position. Do you think it's possible that the RSI, slow stochastics, get to that oversold position?
I think they will approach it and get pretty close to it before this thing is over, because you don't get bear markets like this where they don't eventually get to being oversold. It is so rare that the length of time we've been in this, that you don't eventually get to that point where you're oversold on a lot of these variables that you watch. And so that's a very good point, and that's a very good possibility, Corey.
Well, Doc, just playing the other side of this, is there anything that could happen, probably it'd have to be a macro event, that would change it up where they don't need to get down in that negative territory before reversing? Is there anything that could give an injection of new life to the precious metal sector that you see on the horizon?
The only thing to me is Mr. Powell suddenly having a change in heart and reversing his higher interest rates longer narrative. That's the only thing. So you have to ask yourself, okay, what's going to do that? Is it going to be massive bank failures, which is probably number one that could do it? But I think Mr. Powell is in the catbird seat right now. He's loving what he's seeing as far as what he's doing. And I think he wouldn't have a problem with the conventional stock market dropping 30 to 40% before he finally reverses his position. And we're a long ways away from that as well. And I think that is in the back of his mind as being the one thing he would love to see, and that would reverse his decision-making as far as interest rates are concerned.
So, Doc, what do you think happens with the U.S. markets? Because they did go through, I'm looking at the S&P, right? And we know that some of the markets rolled over in Q4 of 2021, but the S&P really rolled over right as the calendar rolled over in 2022. It went about 8 to 9 months almost straight down, then bottomed, then went about 8 to 9 months almost straight up, but it didn't get back to those highs from the very beginning of 2022. And now they're rolling over. The S&P was down about 5% just last month. That too is not looking great on these charts. So the breakdowns are starting to happen. How low could the markets go?
Well, I think we are so, and I've said this before, that so far all we've seen here in the conventional markets is a cyclical bear market. But I believe we're forming a massive top here, and that we're on our way to evidencing in the future the real secular bear. We're going to break this market down eventually, I feel, and we're going to see it by next year. And I think we will know then that we're in a secular bear market. And I think it's possible that, and when you take the Dow, I think we could eventually see an area of a 22,500 to 25,000 before Mr. Powell would get excited. So I believe we're breaking down. And another thing I pointed out in the past is when you look at the MACD on the monthly chart for the S&P and the Dow Industrials, we have not been in negative territory for the MACD for almost 14 years. That is unheard of. So, and we have to move eventually down into that territory, and it's coming. You have to eventually revert to the mean, And I think we're going to be seeing in the months ahead, and that in itself is going to still be a pressure on the gold stocks, because the gold stocks will not do well along with declining stocks otherwise. And so I think that will also impact precious metal stocks going forward.
Well, Doc, let me ask you a follow-up on that, because a lot of people have postulated that what we need to see is something like the gold to Dow ratio or the gold to S&P ratio diverge, where gold and the precious metals as a sector start diverging from the markets. And they postulated that we need to see the markets roll over and have that 30% plunge, as you mentioned, for them to start showing relative strength compared to the general markets. You don't see it that way?
I do eventually. I think eventually the Dow gold ratio is going to reassert itself to the downside. I do think we're going to see that. And it's hovering right now in an area where it's trying to stay above very important support areas. And I think eventually gold wins out over the Dow, but it's going to take considerable time yet to get there. But I do believe that we're going to see the Dow gold ratio go lower in the future. And I think we're going to go and try to test the 6 area again in the future. And it's only a matter of time, I think, before that happens.
But it might take some time, though, right, Doug? Don't be expecting this to happen immediately, at least from what I'm hearing your projections in price.
Exactly. Remember when we had everybody saying 2 years ago that the Fed was going to start to lower rates a year and a half ago? I remember reading that stuff and shaking my head. Well, because everybody always jumps on the same side of the boat in their narratives, because they go back to the past and say, oh, they're going to do this again. They're going to have to back off right away. Well, just about everybody was incorrect in that whole scenario. But we're going to be in a lost decade here for the conventional markets, because we're still up around 29 to 30 PEs generally. And you know that if we continue to have high interest rates and inflation, it's going to impact the profits of these companies and their margins. It's got to. It's just common sense that it's going to happen. And so you're going to have a lost decade for the conventional markets going forward. And it's going to be painful, especially because I think even with interest rates, we have seen the end of zero interest rates for years. That whole game is over. And I wouldn't be surprised, and we talked offline about this, is that someday we actually see 10 years at close to 12%, because inflation is going to be extremely sticky going forward. They're going to have an awful time controlling inflation, especially with the cost push basis of some of these union contracts that are being settled. You're not going to get rid of it just like that. And so we're going to be in a very volatile area for years, we're finally going to pay the piper for all the misdeeds of the past.
Well, Doc, just one more follow-up on that. When you think about if we are going to be in a secular bear market, it seems like the way people protect themselves or get defensive has started shifting over the last couple of years. It used to be that if the markets were in trouble, people turned to bonds as a safe haven. People turned to gold as a safe haven. Of course, there was always the cash component in the dollar. They're clearly turning to the greenback. They're clearly turning to the buck for safety, but they're not turning to bonds. They don't seem to be turning to gold. They're not turning to Bitcoin. They turned to the Magnificent Seven earlier this year to hide in tech stocks because they were household names. But where do people turn for safety in that kind of an environment?
And that's a very tough thing because 3 years ago when I, in a December, said we were probably going to start a bear market in the conventional market, I made the comment, there's not going to be a lot of safety anywhere. And I said even commodities will get hit, which a lot of them are. In fact, I think copper is going to go lower before it recovers. But having said that, there isn't a lot of area for safety, and it's going to be the nimble that are going to make money. But it's going to be very tough environment to make money because you're going to get whipsawed. You know, so you're going to have to be careful. But ultimately, I think what's going to really benefit is the metal itself, gold itself. And I know on this pullback that we're going to see, I'm going to get back into purchasing more gold because inflation, I believe, is not going away. I think gold is going to be one of the safe havens that there's going to be. And I think the central banks of the world are telling you that right now by the massive amount of purchasing they're making of gold. They see what's coming and they realize what's coming. And so I think one of the to preserve your wealth is one of the best places to be. To just preserve your wealth is going to be gold.
All right. Well, Doc, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for your insights on the metals, the markets, and kind of big picture where you see us all going. It does not sound like an overly easy time to be an investor moving forward here, but hey, there are some high yielding investments that I guess you can make, or even safe places where you can put your money and yield something. So that's been the big change of this market. And I think we are starting to see more people just simply move their money to those and say, you know what, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines here. But Doc, we're going to have you back on next month, and who knows where the metals price will be then, but we'll dive into the charts at that time. So Doc, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.